as Enoch, we would be taken, we would not see death. If the rapture of the church should happen now, we would be taken. Enoch never saw death. He was taken. Noah, by faith, built an ark, and his family was saved from the judgment. Abraham, by faith, left his own country, Haran, and all his friends and all that he had to go and live in Canaan as a stranger. He didn't know where he was going. How would you feel now if you went home today and your spouse said, "Oh, we're moving." And you say, "Oh, where are we moving? I don't know." We go in, grab a tent, leave everything, we're off. I think there would be a bit of consternation there. You say, "Hang on a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa." But this is exactly what Abraham did. He left everything because God had promised an inheritance, and he trusted and had faith in God to deliver upon his promise. So he did. He moved from Haran and went into Canaan, and God guided him to the places which he wanted him to go. Sarah, by faith, Sarah conceived. She had put her faith in the Lord to deliver upon his promise. It says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And God is faithful, and he's a faithful judge. And he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is faithful and just and will deliver on his promises. Even though she had initial unbelief, she was caught laughing at the prospect. And despite being well past the age of conception, and Abraham, we are told, was as good as dead, she maintained her strength and trusted in the Lord, who made good on his promise. Abraham again offered up Isaac in faith. And now this is a trial of faith now. Genesis 22:2, if you turn to that, Genesis 22, verse 2. Genesis 22:2, and he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Abraham knew that Isaac was the child of promise, as God had said, and God could raise him from the dead if necessary. What faith Abraham had, that he obeyed God to the very moment that the knife was due to come down, and then God stopped him. But also, if he was also going to be a burnt offering, but this is the power of God, that even though if he had brought the knife down and killed him and burnt him, God could still raise him up from the dead. God is not restrained at all. Okay? Many people say, what about those people who were caught up in wars and were blown up in bombs? God can pull the very dust of the earth back together. And wherever that person is, God will bring them back together. That is the power of God. He's unrestrained, unlike ourselves. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He put his faith in God's covenant for them. Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph while leaning on his staff. His strength was from the Lord. His body itself was weak. It was feeble. He was showing his dependence on the Lord. Joseph, knowing by faith that God had plans for Israel, wanted to be buried in the land that God had prepared for his people. His bones were to be carried and buried in Israel. How many of us want to be buried in Wales? Two, three. So the rest of you in Afghanistan, is it? Where do you want to be buried? I always like to think, yeah, I'd like to be buried. If I died somewhere away, I'd like to come back home. I'd like to be buried in Wales and come back and be buried. I think it's this sort of thing that any relatives could come and visit my grave if they wanted to, or whatever. But it's like your home then. And Egypt wasn't Joseph's home, okay? He was going to go up back into his land, and his family were going to take him up, and that's where he was going to be buried. So he left instructions, knowing by faith that this is what's going to happen, because God was preparing that land for his people. I'd like to be buried in Wales, so you can make a note of that, okay? Moses, by faith, relied on God for deliverance out of Egypt, and not just himself, but the whole tribes of Israel, walking through the Red Sea as though on dry land. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, walking through the Red Sea as though it's dry land. And as soon as he was through, God brought the waters in and destroyed Pharaoh's armies. Joshua, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell flat. After marching around seven times, they fell flat. And Rahab, by faith, and she was spared, and her family as well. That's amazing. Faith is a wonderful thing. If you put your true faith in the Lord, how the Lord will use you mightily. If you look at our pastor. Pastor had a good job. He was there working in GE as an aircraft engineer. Good, well-paid job. He'd probably be in charge of the place by now if he'd stayed on. But he stepped out in faith because the Lord had work for him. And he said, Dan, I go work for you, and it's to be pastor of this church. Praise the Lord. We had a vote on it, and by faith, the people of the church voted 100%. We wanted Dan as our pastor. And what is it, 14 years now? Something like that, years later. He's still here. Membership is growing, and how wonderful the Lord is, how faithful he is in using someone and bringing them out from something which, you know, were good prospects, but God had a better purpose for him. It's the best job in the world being a Christian, I think, but it's one of the hardest jobs in the world is being a pastor, and it's a 24/7 job. So do pray for our pastor. Okay, and I'm not just saying this because it's been recorded, and he listened to it after, I'm sure he will, but it's important to pray for the pastor and his family, that the Lord will keep them safe and be a hedge around about them. It's very important. And you think of missionaries who are called to go off to different places in the world. Sometimes the thought may not have entered into their heads. Somebody asked one day, well, how did you become a missionary? Where did you go? And they said, well, the Lord laid you on my heart. And they said, but the place you went was very dangerous. But the truth is, in that place, which may have been some tribe up the Amazon, some obscure tribe, but there was somebody in that tribe who was looking around, looking at the creation, and they must have realized there was a creator there, and they wanted to know. That heart was searching for the Lord. And the Lord then convicted somebody who may have been thousands of miles away to go to that place and to bring the message of the Lord Jesus to them. That's how missionaries work. They're convicted, it's laid upon their heart, and off they go. I remember being told many years ago a story of a lady, and she was very prayerful, and she would say, Lord, I'll do anything for you, I'll do anything. No, whatever you want, I will do it. And the Lord called her only daughter to be a missionary in some obscure part of the world. And she turned nasty. She said, why are you taking her away from me? She's my only daughter. But her daughter was convicted to go away and become a missionary. And the thing is, faith can have consequences sometimes. You have to be very careful. But we have to step out in faith and trust in the Lord to use us to his honour and glory. Missionaries go out in all parts of the world. Sometimes they may not really know where they're going. They put their lives on the line. We should pray for them and keep them in prayer, that the Lord will keep them safe and wonderfully use them to reach people and to be saved. If you turn to Matthew chapter 17. And again, the story is here. It's about a man whose son was possessed. And the disciples could not cast out the demon. I think the word is he was a lunatic, but he was demon-possessed. And his disciples were unable to do it. Even though they may have succeeded with others, for some reason this demon was stronger and maybe wiser, cleverer. And the thing is, we go remember that angels and demons, they're all of different strength. You have the Archangel Michael, you would have Satan, But you have other angels as well, and other demons, and they have different strengths. And we know that because in the scriptures it tells us that some are worse than others. Okay? And for some reason the disciples could not cast out this demon. And Jesus said unto them in verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. What he was saying is, when they came up a bit, against something which actually was a little bit harder, a bit more tricky, then they lost their faith a little bit. They say, oh, you know, we can't do this. This is beyond our capability. But Jesus was saying, look, it was because of your unbelief. You came up, you hit something a bit harder, and suddenly you stopped. So, oh, we can't do this. How many of us have done that? When we come up against a problem, which actually is very difficult, and we just give up, and we think, oh, I can't do this. But actually what Jesus is saying, look, it's because of your unbelief. In other words, if you'd really prayed about this and fasted, then you would have achieved what you were meant to achieve. Of course, it wasn't an issue to the Lord, and he dealt with it straight away. But he was asked, why couldn't the disciples do this then? But there are some demons out there who are stronger than others and cleverer than others, and they need a different approach, and they need a stronger approach to be dealt with. But here's a question. Can you say to this mountain, move here? How is your faith? Is it as much as a mustard seed? You've seen a mustard seed. We had some brought to the church once. They're like little specks, like little grains of sand. They are tiny. Where's your faith? Can you move a mountain with your faith? Can you achieve things which are impossible? How weak is your faith? Turn to Luke chapter 17. And verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, again he goes back to this mustard seed because it's so small, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Can you say to a tree, lift yourself up and plant yourself elsewhere? I would love to be able to say to that, my garden needs work, and I'd love to rearrange it a little bit. How nice it would be if I could pick up the oak tree and just move it back a little bit, and just by faith. But my faith is so weak. But nothing should be impossible to us. But really what the Lord is saying, look, by faith you can achieve an awful lot. When you come up against barriers which are there for you, when you're trying to do the Lord's work, okay, then you must have faith, and the Lord will wonderfully use you, and he will remove our barriers. This is why we pray about things. This is why we pray about the extension, that any barriers that come up, the Lord will intercede, and he will remove those barriers. And the Lord has been wonderful how he has moved, and we have been able to progress with that. But there are issues which we come across in life, which of ourselves we cannot do anything about. And so we need to rely on the Lord. We need to have that faith. Turn to Matthew 14, verse 24. And we're going to read just until verse 31. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now I gotta be honest, if I was Peter, I would want to do that. I think this is brilliant. I want to walk on that water, because it would be just fantastic to do it. But what happened? And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now this goes back now, this next verse, into what I was saying. Sometimes we come up against things, and our unbelief causes us issues, because for some reason we get scared of what the world puts in front of us. And let's see what happens. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And that's our problem. Sometimes we doubt. We have these fears which come upon us. And it's when we take our eyes off the Lord. Peter took his eye off the Lord Jesus here. And instead he started concentrating on the things of the world. And that's when he started becoming worried that the things of the world were going to overcome him. But if he kept focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd have carried on walking there on that water. We shouldn't doubt. We know the disciples were able to perform all sorts of miracles, but not of their own strength, but by their faith in God. And even Michael, the archangel, did not take on Satan in his own strength when contending for the body of Moses. But he said, the Lord rebuke thee. So even the archangel Michael, the most powerful of the angels, did not take on Satan in his own strength, but invoked the name of the Lord, and that was sufficient. So we should always look to the Lord. Sometimes we're asked to do things and we can't work out why. You think when Saul lost his sight and he was on the road to Damascus, he lost his sight, he became a believer, and Ananias was told, Ananias, I want you to go and see this man called Saul, and I want you to touch him on the eyes and restore his sight. And Ananias, Lord, you know who this man is. This is the one who persecutes Christians, people like us. And the Lord said, I don't know why he said that, the Lord knew exactly who he was. And he said, look, he's a chosen vessel, I've chosen him. Ananias went in faith, put his hand on Saul's eyes, and Saul's sight was returned to him. But remember, it's what Ananias said to Saul. He said, brother, he said. So immediately, because God had chosen him, instead of becoming this enemy, he said to him, brother, he said. It's a wonderful thing. So even our enemies can become our brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ if we witness faithfully to them. But faith brings responsibility. It would be amazing if we could sort of lift up a tree, you know, by faith and move it here, there, and everywhere. The problem with us is I think we misuse those powers a little bit. For instance, if somebody was driving along on the road and they cut us up, you know, wouldn't we be tempted to lift the car up and drop her in the river and teach them a lesson and say, don't cut me up in future? That's a misuse of our faith, isn't it? If you don't like your boss, and I've had some corking bosses, you know, to be able to make them covered in warts or something like that, just say, I'll teach you a lesson. It would be misusing our faith. Apparently, there was a survey carried out amongst men. This is, I don't think women do this, but amongst men. Okay, and this is from watching too many X-Men films and the Avengers and various other things like that. Right? Apparently, when a man sits down to watch television and he sits on the chair and the three mortars over on the other seat, he goes, oh. And instead of trying to get it, he'd try to go like that, trying to use some superpower to bring the remote to him because he can't be bothered. But what happens? Nothing, because his mind over matter, and it's not going to work. And I think by faith, that isn't still going to come to you because it's a misuse of our faith. Okay, but apparently men do that sort of thing because we're too lazy to go off our backsides and get a remote control. But we shouldn't therefore misuse our faith in the Lord in the hope that to achieve things for our own gain or that the Lord would take revenge on something for us because we're impatient. And this is the problem that we have today, and perhaps why God, while answering prayers, does not give us unrestrained power. Although we may have faith, the truth is we may well misuse it. And to finish, when you're about the Lord's work, have faith that he will perform all that is necessary for you to achieve your goals to his honour and glory. It's not about you, but it's Christ working in you. Our job as Christians is very straightforward. We've got to witness to those around about them and tell them that they need a saviour. And without that saviour, they're on their way to a lost eternity. They go into the depths of hell, the darkness, blackness of darkness, where the smoke of their torment will rise up forever and ever, where there will be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. I wouldn't want that for my worst enemy. Even the guy who cuts me up in the car, and I'm really angry at the time, I wouldn't want that. You know, you just wouldn't want that for anybody. And that's why the blood of Christ can cover all sins, no matter what they are. It doesn't matter. Christ can reach everybody. Don't restrict the power of the blood by saying, oh, I'll witness to that person, but I'm not going to go near that person. That person deserves everything that comes from him. The truth is, the Lord can save everybody. The blood of Christ can cover every single sin. And it's insulting to God to say that there are some sins that the blood of his Son cannot cover, because actually the blood of Jesus can save anybody and everybody who puts their faith and trust in him. Right, guess what? I've come to the end, last page. So, there we are, it's 2:15. It's a record, but we did start on time. So we can close now with our last hymn, which is number 583. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed. And maybe after this, I'll ask Brother Andrew Phipps if you would close in prayer for us. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's stand as we sing. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, even one by one. Count your blessings. Give you to your journey's end. Count
here to us, who is in Israel. We thank you, Father, for your great and precious promises, that by means of these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Father, you have given us so many promises, and as the heavens unite us, may we count our blessings, and as we think of our past blessings, may it serve to increase our faith in the God who has blessed us in the past, and who will bless us and guide us with his eye until that day when we enter his glorious presence. Father, in saying that, we would remember Brother Andrew and his family, and we thank you, Father, for his mother who has entered into your presence. The life of faith is complete, and we pray, Father, that through this shall have an effect upon us, the members of the family. They too might come to that point where they can have that assurance that by believing in the Savior, one day they will see Andrew's brother again. So, Father, Father, to be blessed, give us that continued sense of your presence. Let Pastor Father, as you will take the pulpit this morning, thank you for John and his faithfulness. Pray that we too shall be truly faithful in telling others what your word has declared, that they too might come not to believe in the Savior simply because we say, but because we have a God and our love. We ask these things in